on page Lamechez, Arisatari Perg Zayin, Seif Zayin. Now, last week I said we were going to finish the paragraph. I was just joking. I mean, this week we're really going to. The parak is about the tsar of Bittul Torah. There's the tsar, the anguish that a person sometimes is zoichet to identify. Where is this tsar coming from? What's the source of my tsar? And he's able to identify that the source of his tsar is that he's cut off a little bit from the face of Hashem. Because Bittul Torah is Hafichas Panim Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Rav Kook was explaining, being from Chazal. Hafichas Panim Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. That turning of Hashem's face away from the person. And the loss of He'oras Pnei Hashem in the person's life, which is due primarily to one's detachment from Torah. If a person is zoichet to understand that, where it's coming from, and to set about correcting that, so the simcha fills a person. A lack of Torah in a person's life, we just learned last week, that itself is Gehenim in this world. The Hafichas Panav Shel Hashem, which is the result of Bittul Torah, is Mitzri Gehenim. That's the misery of Gehenim in this world. And Siv Zayin, it's very hard to explain. Yesh asher kol yediya dehipagsha im ha'adam begalmiyusa. And here at the beginning of Cook's not talking about yediya in Torah. Yesh asher kol yediya. There are things that a person reads, things that a person learns, information that one receives. That when a person meets, encounters this piece of knowledge, this yediyah that the person has encountered is begalmiyusa. Galmiyusa is the word garlam. Meaning it's not really been developed in the person's mind. He doesn't really understand it in all of its details. It's in a state of galmius. There's some yediyah that the person hears, some information, some concept that the person encounters, but it's still in a state of galmius. It's a galamdika yediyah. It hasn't been clearly formulated, understood, broken down into the pratim. Below chadir lepratah, he hasn't penetrated into the pratim of this yediyah, of this knowledge, or of this concept. And because of that, this yediyah is mahamemes oisai. Mahamemes oisai, it stuns him. It stuns him, it could upset him. Mafchidoso, it could frighten him. Umaarbeves es daito, and confuse him. This is, of course, talking about a time when people were thinking. And when knowledge was something which was the most important thing to a person, there are still people who are like that, but they're fewer than they used to be. When the world of thought, ideas, was the most important part of life, and people took what they read and what they learned very, very seriously, there are thoughts and concepts that frighten a person, umar bevis is daitai, and confuse him. A person can grow up with a simple emunah, a nice, beautiful, pure emunah, and then they go to some college class, and there's some kleine kepler that's standing in front of the class, waiting for his sabbatical, who says something, making chizik of creation, of the Creator, making light of something that you took very seriously all of your life, presenting a certain alternative to the way that you were raised thinking. And when you hear this, it could stun you. It could frighten you and confuse you. My leader by Chazyones Shav Vesohu. I don't think that at the beginning that Rav Kook is talking here about Divrei Kodesh. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Yesh shekol yediyah bihipog shem od megal miyus, sablai chadiyah lepratel mehamem esas mafchidos o mevev esas daita, melida bai chazyonesh shav v'so. Because you'll see in a minute, you'll see why, maybe I'm wrong, but just hold on for another sentence or two. I think that's what it is. Again, I'm not sure. I always say everything that we're learning, and I'm explaining this just al derech efsher, and I'm not sure about it. You'll see. So my leader by Chazyonis Shav Vesohu, this idea can give birth into the person's mind of false visions. Chazyonis Shav Vesohu, Narishkeit. Shav means something which is untrue. Chazyonis Shav Vesohu, deceitful, inaccurate, Vesohu, and empty visions of life. Now, Rav Kook, I think, is explaining that the reason that a person can be so thrown off by meeting these concepts, these thoughts, these ideas, the reason for that is because this individual's mind has not been refined properly with the light of Torah. In other words, it's due to Bittul Torah. Now, Bittul Torah, as we learned, doesn't only mean the amount of time that you put in learning, but also the level of learning, the quality of learning. You take somebody that went through yeshiva, where he had usually no more than a pre-1A level of, was given no more than a pre-1A level of understanding the basics of Yiddishkeit. I don't mean how to make an Asher Yotzer. I'm talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he's 17 years old or 18 years old, and you throw him into anthropology 001. And he listens to this stuff. Even if he continues to put on tefillin and keep Shabbos, there's confusion. And oftentimes there's a breakdown, which I've seen that. And even though it's most often not going to be very, very obvious, but there are subtle ways that a person is hurt by his encounter with ideas and concepts that he doesn't fully understand, and he hasn't really analyzed in light of Torah, because his mind is not equipped with enough of the clear light of Torah, which would enable him to dissect the information that he receives and to understand it for what it is. I remember when I was maybe 9 years old or something like that, that I read a book that was going around at that time, and there were pictures in there and proofs about how there were aliens that came from another planet. I don't mean from South America, I mean from another planet. Came from another planet, and that they left traces of their existence here in the world. And with that, this person, the Mechaber, was able to explain all of religion, all this different stuff. And he had some photographs that were taken to show, like, you could see that this is where a spaceship landed. And I was so completely tzibrochen from that. That was my first exposure to Kfir. And I remember the name of the book, and I remember the Admis Nefesh. I was sick over that. I was sick about it. So I mean that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give us the Torah, and somebody that was like a Martian came down or something, and it wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. What happened, and all of this, and all these different things. It was a You know, like all these books, it had footnotes and this, and there comes a documentation. And I was so sick about it. And finally, you know, my father said, "What's something's upsetting you?" And I told him I read this book. And he said, "What book?" And I gave him the book. So he read the book. And we were talking about my father. My father's not a professor or anything like that, but to argue with facts about Martians giving us their sense of debris or anything like that. My father was laughing, and he made such chizuk of it, and he was going, we went through different parts of it. And then afterwards, I spoke to a cousin of mine, an older cousin, who was explained different things to me. But I remember the Agnes Nefesh that I had. Sometimes I think, and I'm just sharing this, sometimes I think I'd never fully recuperated from that. Sometimes, like, there's a little nakuda of that Nairish guy. A tiny little thing, like a bacteria. Then when I get older, so I was reading other books on different things, and philosophy and mysticism and all the stuff I was reading in those years, which, right, you know, bacteria. And Rav Kook, I think, is saying that these chesyonis shav vaso, these false visions, the visions of Narishkeit that we have in life, that are caused by confronting the world and the ideas of the world, that bring confusion and even that bring to pachad. Pachad, what a pachad. A fear that my life is misdirected, that I've committed myself to something that is whatever, it's not real, it's not clear. And even if it's not in Yonim, I'm giving you an example from the world of Kfira, of heresy or something like that, apikrosis. But even if it's not that, so what do we do about this? So if Cook says the only cure for this, and this is what we talk about all of the time, because nowadays more than ever, it's not, I said before, I was making a little bit of a crack, but it's, of course, it's there's great truth to it, but in general, kids are not growing up right now, you know, their heroes are not, you know, Albert Einstein's not their hero, you know what I'm saying? The thinkers and the philosophers of the world are not their heroes. The heroes are drug addicts and convicts who throw balls and swing bats and and go to the, playing a show or a movie. There was a time where the heroes of the world were thinking people. The thinking people. You know, none of the kids nowadays are tempted to or have a taiva like to hang up a picture of Karl Marx. You understand? Karl Marx was a kaifer. He was a chosh of a kaifer. He was a chosh of a kaifer. Freud was a kaifer. He was all even, of course. But he was a chosh of a kaifer. when I was older, so then I was reading Achad Ha'am. I read everything Achad Ha'am wrote. Inside out, I chazed over 3 times. It was a chash of a kaifer. Achad Ha'am was a kaifer that was baki in Shas. The new all of Shas. That's a chash of a kaifer. For the most part, the kids nowadays are not interested in these things. It's not something that they encounter. Instead, what's happening, what's it called, like, on the computer when you didn't plan it and something comes onto the screen, there's a pop-up. What's happening is that there are millions of pop-ups in kids' lives nowadays. Not just kids. Big kids, too. In other words, it's not an inyan that the person is Isaac in and that he studies and thinks about the Oymek. It's a pop-up. It comes into life like this way. This class, this idea, he saw this article, he heard this. Sometimes it comes from the parents themselves, that he sits at a Shabbos table and he's zayich to have parents that make fun of the Rebbe, make fun of the Rav, and puts down, and there are these pop-ups that the kids are exposed to. And it could throw them off. It could create a terrible cholol haponui, a vacuum in their hearts. And they don't talk to anybody about it. And they don't have the antidote. So they live with chezyonos shav vasohu, false visions of life. Chezyonos shav vasohu. Those are words to remember. Chezyonos shav vasohu, visions that are false, vasohu and empty, of life. And they don't talk to anybody about it. But then when you talk to people who are Orthodox, I'm not talking about they go Orthoderach, that's something else. I'm talking about you talk to Orthodox people and they're older. If you have a conversation with a typical Orthodox, obviously, the less knowledge of Torah, the more of a problem. But if you talk to a person about Inyonim of Emuna, you'll discover that on an average, out of the 13 fundamentals of Yiddishkeit, at least half of those are very, very, very off. Very off. Usually more than that. And that's after you tell the person what the 13 fundamental principles of faith are. That many of them are off. Schava Oynish, Bechira, Termina Shemayim, Nevuas Moshe, Tchisa Meisim, Mashiach. They heard of them. You say, yeah, it's one of the 13? Oh. They heard of them, but they don't have a handle on them. Chezyonos shav vasohu fill the minds and hearts of a large part of Klal Yisrael who are shomrei Torah mitzvahs. I'm not talking about not shomrei Torah mitzvahs. So what do we do about that? How do you fight against that? So the answer that has been given throughout history by many people is we try to do our best to make sure that they're not exposed to anything. No pop-ups. So you have to get good filters. I don't mean filter on the computer, obviously. I'm talking about filters in life. So you try to isolate. And you try to keep them apart from meeting Yedia b'hipokshim ha'adam agam yusuf, that they shouldn't meet up with any ideas that are not ideas of Yiddishkeit. They shouldn't meet up with ideas that are not ideas of holiness. And this is the way to protect our children. Okay. But that's becoming harder and harder. Because even if a kid's living in Meir Shalom Magula, his friend's got an iPhone, an iPod or something, and that's it. So he might live in Meir Shalom, but for that moment, He's in some filthy alleyway, someplace in a back street in London. Makes no difference. But he's in Midtown Manhattan. The fact that he lives in Meir Sharm, that only makes it a bigger crisis of faith. That's all. Because he have a little child that was raised in such a place, and all of a sudden he sees something. It doesn't have to be in Gula Meir Sharm. It could be on Lee Avenue, or what? It could be on 16th Avenue, and it could be in our neighborhood as well. Not to such a degree because of the tamimus that they raised within these places. And all of a sudden he sees something. So he's not in Meir Sharm, he's not in Williamsburg. He's in the same filthy street in Manhattan that his father goes to work on. Meaning that he had that in the city. And there are ideas. Ideas that he never heard of, never thought of. Chazyanis Shav Veso. Moilidabo, they give birth, and these concepts and ideas. I'm not talking about schmutz now. That's something else. Concepts, ideas. That the person meets up with, that he encounters. He didn't expect it, but he encounters these ideas. They give birth inside his brain to false visions and foolish visions. But he wasn't taught the Yud Gimli Karim in depth. His Rebbe kept on telling him, you learn a lot of Torah, you'll keep on learning, and you're not going to have any problems. Just learn. Which, of course, you have to, but the curriculum needs to consist of a depth of Torah that can transform these frightening thoughts, change them into thoughts that are not scary at all. V'heim ishabchem l'dvar miyushavim, marchive das, ubayinim es hanesham v'binyin hatoiv, l'fi erech shechlulam shel hapratim shebayim v'yediye u'l'fi beruam. I would just translate to say that it's going to be okay. It could be okay. But if we want to break that down a little bit more, this sentence, these very same frightening goylem dikke thoughts. They're goylem dik. Because they haven't been properly analyzed. You're not equipped to analyze them properly. Just like a little kid that's reading some stupid book. You're not equipped to analyze these things. You were sold the goods, and you're not equipped. But when you are equipped, and the person is filled with the light of Torah, and we're going to see Pnimius HaTorah, then all these things are mishabchim l'dvar miyushavim. They're transformed into dvar miyushavim. They settle into thoughts that are settled. Not only that, Rav Kook says they could even be marchivei das. Marchivei das. They could cause an expansion of one's thoughts. They don't have to threaten your way of thinking. They don't have to tear down your beliefs. Can be machive das. Not that one is supposed to, we're not talking, God forbid, of intentionally studying things or reading things that are against emunah chas v'shalom. But even things that have to do with science, something about the universe and how the universe is. Well, so if a person is not in a place of Torah, if a person is not in that place of Torah, it could be Machriv das. It could destroy his thinking. If a person is in a place of the Eimek of Torah, then that very same concept is not Machriv. It's the same letters. It's what? Marchiv. It's an interesting thing how Harchove and Churban, Machriv, Marchiv, is the same letters. That very same thought, which for one person is a Machriv, can be for another person a Marchiv.
When you saw that something that rocked what you believed, did it cause you to look further to dispel what you were?
That's what my father did with me. He didn't. He said, "Let's not talk about alien aliens."
Right. Let's not talk about the delusion of this. Let's talk about
no.
Understand and see how it.
No. We learn Maseil Sesharim and the different things like that.
That maybe that's as far as the extensiveness that you have. Yeah. To, so evidently something is not clear that you're able to allow something like this in.
Yeah.
And therefore you need to clarify it.
Yeah, and the only way to clarify is with the light of Torah.
Exactly.
Doesn't mean to read the sequel to the book. means to clarify.
The sequel to the book is just going to cloud things more.
Yeah, you're digging deeper. Marchive das, ubayinim es haneshama bebinyan hatayv. Even this concept that you met, that until now it was a machriv, when it's dissected in the light of Torah, it can contribute to building the neshama b'binyan ha'tayv. That's where Rav Kook thought was going to be in Hebrew University. But then, of course, we spoke about that a lot. And his whole view of secular knowledge, which came from such a pure soul. And he had such faith in us that we'd read poetry, or we would study philosophy only after learning all of Shas and Poskim, all Maharal, all Ramchal, all of Kuzri, all of the Zohar Kodesh, and now I'm going to read a poem by I'm going to read something from Shakespeare. But it was said he had the wrong customers. The Olam starts off with Shakespeare, and they learned 2.5 blot that they don't remember Rav Metzia. Rav Kook's vision of Torah as all-encompassing, of Hashem Echad, everything in the world, every idea, every concept, as one learns in Rav Kook's Svarim, being lifted up. For some people, the theory of evolution is a machriv. Rav Kook has many, many writings on evolution. He has many writings on evolution. And in Rav Kook's writings, evolution is a very holy thing. It's a very holy thing. Because when evolution, that Indian of evolution that came up at that time, the 19th century, and then went into the 20th century, when that came up, and the people who were unequipped to deal with it, it was machr of them, the Rabbanim were screaming out, treif, 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 usser, don't look at this, don't look at this, don't look at this, don't look at this, which meant to every kid, look at this, look at this, look at this. It's always like that. To Rav Kook said, let's look at that through the Zohar Kodesh. Let's look at that through Kisrei Ari. Let's look at that through the eyes of Torah, and we'll discover that evolution is not a theory. Evolution is a mitzvah that Chazal spoke about, that the Torah deals with. Don't get nervous. Don't get frightened. It doesn't mean that Yazid was a monkey. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that you're going to be extinct next week or anything like that. That's not what it means. So what is evolution? Rav Kook called it hispaschus. Hispaschus. You look in Arz HaKadosh. It's shining with the holiness of evolution. He writes about it. What evolution is. If you don't learn Pnimis HaTorah, this Rav Kook is crying about all the time. I'm going to get to it much more later on. Tess and Yud Aleph, Yud Gimel. I'm going to talk about Nitzan this Shavuos night, this Inyan. That if a person doesn't learn Pnimis, then the things that you, the ideas, the concepts, are not misyashrim, they cause confusion. You know the 2.5 blot in Bava Metzia? And you even figured out a little bit Tafakayin. And you went a little bit further, and you understand in another Masechta this concept, and another Taisis in that Masechta, it's Gevaldik. It's Tyre. But in order to take the concepts that we meet in this world, and not to run away from them, but to be frightened by them, not to be confused by them, but that how at some point those very same ideas can contribute to building the neshama. Marchivei das ubayinim es haneshama bebinyan hatayv. To build the neshama bebinyan hatayv. L'fi erach shechlulam shel ha'pratim, to the degree that you clarify the details, shaboyim b'yidia, that are part of this piece of knowledge, u'l'fi beruram, according to the degree that they're clarified. So now here, Leon, this is where I think that he gives it away, but I'm still not 100% sure. Hachanas ha'Torah v'ha'chachma, rak hi tucha lahatzilus ha'neshamim miruach soya v'sar. Only through learning Torah. Hachanas ha'Torah v'ha'chachma, rak hi, only Torah, tucha lahatzilus ha'neshamim, only the Torah can save the neshama, can rescue the neshama. Meruach soya v'sar, from the stormy winds. Shehabarus misagelus oisola. Barus means stupidity. Shehabarus, that stupidity, misagelus oisola, causes to come into a person's life. The storms, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, and so on, of the chazyana shavaso, only with Torah. Look, the truth is, it applies even when someone misunderstands something in Torah. It's not right. It's theory. Ideas of Torah can confuse a person as well. So it's not really, it could be either way. But only hachonis ha-Torah v'ha-chochma rak hitucha lahatzulas ha-neshomim v'ruach soy v'sar. So what's going to save the kids and us from the pop-ups of life? Only hachanas ha-Torah v'ha-chachma can spare us from the storms of stupidity. The storms of stupidity that make us crazy. Uma gedoyli yamatsuka shel meitzrei gehenim haboy mechesvenu shel Torah. And how great is the mitzuka, the crisis, the misery of the anguish of Gehenna that comes as a result of a lack of Torah. And Rav Kook is going to spell this out much more in the coming Prokem. That, of course, with the additional blot in Bava Metzia, Rav Kook over and over and over was screaming that it's not enough. The new generation is being exposed to new ideas that in the old ghettos we never, ever, ever had to deal with. And unless our children are exposed to the depths of Amuna, to the deepest, deepest parts of Torah, they're not going to survive the storm.
Father generation, he told me that Europe was a horrible ideologically.
It was a big mess. It was already starting, sure. After World War One, things really got... After World War One, everything started going.
So, what do they have? The kids today, it's nonsense.
It's not
challenging. It's just nonsense.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's true. That the Iker challenge nowadays is the schmutz, not so much concepts and ideas.
Right.
Because the kids are not so interested anymore in ideas. They're interested in girls. So it's a different kind of a challenge. But only Pnimius can rescue a person, A, from the concepts, the ideas. You're right, that were the greater challenge years ago. And from the shitchius, the superficiality and the shallowness that would cause a person to think that the only joy that he could possibly have in life is that girlfriend or that picture, God forbid. But you're right. And so I said that at the beginning. Rav Kook was speaking in his time, where a typical 18, 19-year-old Jew in Europe or in the yeshuv was on fire with idealism, whether it was Zionism or socialism or Hegel or Marx or whatever it was. they weren't trying to figure out, they weren't living in a world where they were trying to figure out how many songs can I get onto my iPod. It was a different mahalach. You don't have to even go back to your father's time. Even when we were growing up. I mentioned this many times. We used to sit around in yeshiva. I mean, we were dopes, and we had all the Irishkeit. I mean, but we used to argue about Vietnam, and we used to scream and yell about ideas and concepts, and we were in that sugya. I don't think nowadays a typical, you know, table in the lunchroom. That's what the guys are talking about. But we used to with the Yankees and Mets, all that. And the liberals and the more the right wing, and we were in sugyas of emuna. We used to fight about emuna. About Amunah. We used to talk about Amunah. Not because we were from. We were Shema Shabbos, but not because of that, because it bothered us. Amunah was a topic at the lunch table, because it bothered us. Then maybe we'll catch on a little bit. It bothered us. And we talked about it. And we were just goofy guys, but we talked about it. It bothered us. And we were looking for answers. We didn't have a havimna to ask our rebbeim about any of these things. Most of them didn't speak English in any kind of an advanced way. And if you asked something like this, it was what? Well, you don't have a munna. You know, we didn't. Maybe they would have. We didn't think of it. It wasn't a havamina. If you would have met my rebbeim, you'd understand what I'm talking about. They were tzaddikim. I'm not making fun of them, but they were pure. And from a different world. There was no havamina to talk about it. So with the guys, though, we used to handle in these things. We used to fight and argue in Yom Ramuna with politics and this and about the press. What's going on? We used to argue about civil rights. We used to argue about right and wrong, good and evil. We used to argue. We used to fight about things. It meant something to us. And Rav Kook, of course, was writing at a time, was teaching at a time when the Jews of Europe, and then it was trickling, of course, into Yerushalayim as well, that the Jews of Europe were for the first time, in a very big and broad way, exposed to the world. And the Ikkar at that time, of course, was not the Nisyonis of Tumah. It's always been around, but that wasn't the Ikkar. The Ikkar was in the Sichus, an understanding. That's for sure true. But I believe that what Rav Kook is saying here is as relevant, and even more, in the Milchama against Shitchus, the war against superficiality. That's the war that we have now, is shallowness. When I meet a kid that's off the derech, when he's off the derech, because he has questions of Amunah, he's going through a crisis of Amunah, I'm much less worried about this guy. I mean, he's got to be taken care of. I'm not saying it's chalila to be ignored, but I'm much less worried about this guy than like some dopey wise guy that's got his hat on in the coolest way, and has got that you know, look in his eyes of emptiness. I'm much more worried about that guy and what's going to be with his wife and kids in the end. You have to metapel in the fellow with the inyanim. You have to metapel. But it's a pleasure to be metapel with those people. It's a pleasure. The thinking people, it's a machai to talk to. Walk into a typical shtiebel, you know, and try to deal with the men who are shooting spitballs at each other during the teichicha. Try to deal with that. Well, the Rav has to go around saying, please, please, have rachmanis, it's Pasha Zohar. Just 30 seconds. 30 seconds, that's all. And they go, sure, Rabbi, sure, sure, Rabbi, Rabbi. And then when he turns around, they go, those who have been to these places know exactly what I'm talking about. That's much harder to deal with. Much, much harder. The shallowness, the emptiness. And if you try to talk to one of the guys, these guys, the shallow, he could tell you over a Gemara Bava Metzia, by the way. He's pretty good at it. Some of them, they're pretty good. Yeah, vada, vada. You're not telling them anything new. If you try to tell something in the Torah, they have to cut you off in the middle and say, no, what do you think? You think I don't know? You think I don't know that? It's much harder to deal with. This machla of shallowness. But it's the same tool that we have. It's the only tool that we have. Is the oimek of Torah. Pnimis shebe pnimis. The kid that's asking all those questions is in a place already of pnimis, hasn't learned yet maral and kuzri. Okay, but when you give him the maral and you give him kuzri and you talk to him a little bit about Tanya, you have a big Ovid Hashem in the makings over here. He's a thinking kid. He's a person. There's a Ben Adam. There's a Ben Adam. As opposed to what, you talk to somebody, you don't know who you talk. What? Rav Shlomi used to learn a lot of Rav Kook. He was a big chassid of Rav Kook. I used to talk to him about it. He was a big chassid of Rav Kook. Of course, not only Rav Kook, but the most articulate spokesman of this in modern times is Rav Kook. And how great and how chashuv is that way of Torah. Tu'udas ha-Torah means a mahalach or a destiny. It's hard to translate exactly. Hamusar hadas v'chochem ul hi natsa mehem. Only with that can a person be saved and rescued from the yediyas, the garlam dikki yediyas that he has, the unfinished, incomplete ideas that have created a storm in his life. And what's the Torah? So if Cook ends the pasuk in Mishlei, the Torah, he says, is b'chinas migdal oiz, a powerful fortress. Torah is a migdal oiz. Shem Hashem, says in the pasuk, migdal oiz, Shem Hashem, bo yoruz tzadik v'nizgav. The Torah is a fortress of strength, a powerful fortress. Shem Hashem, that's the Torah. We learned a lot about that. The whole Torah is Hashem's name. Shem Hashem. Bo yoruz, into that fortress. Who runs into that fortress? Tzadik v'nizgav. A tzadik, and a nizgav means an exalted person, knows that the Torah is the only fortress that we have. Migdal Oiz Shem Hashem. The name of Hashem, which is Pnimis HaTorah, is Migdal Oiz, is the fortress. If our principals and rebbeim and teachers are going to continue refusing to show the kids the way themselves and the kids the way into that fortress, we're going to, God forbid, lose more and more of them. Migdal Oiz Shem Hashem. Bo Yorud Sadi V'Mizgav. That's the fortress of strength. Migdal Oiz Shem Hashem. Bo Yorud Sadi V'Mizgav. Yeshe Ha'odam Margish Es Hatzar Ha'godl Al Miyut HaTerush Alay. Sometimes a person feels tremendous tzar over how little Torah he has. Magish is tzar ha-gadol al miyut ha-Torah shalai. He feels tzar. It bothers him. Shabbat mitzad bitl Torah v'tzimtzim adas. That comes from all the time that he's neglected learning. And tzimtzim adas, and the smallness of his thoughts. Hamafiel al oira haruchani shal Torah. That cover and darken the spiritual light of Torah, that he doesn't know much, and that his mind is so mitzumtzum, is so small. The whole avodah of a Jew, in the first pasuk in this parasha, Parashas Emma v'amarta. So Rashi says, why does it say Emma v'amarta? What do you need to say again? So Rashi says, Lahaz here, Gidoyle ma'alaktamen, right? To warn the Gedolim, that it's not enough that they hear what Hashem says, but they also have to teach the children. Emor v'amarta. Bahazir Gedolim al-Ktanim. So the Svarma Kedoshim, the Naim al-Melech, the Marinayim, all the Tzaddikim say, the Lahazir Gedolim al-Ktanim means not just to teach the little ones. Lahazir Gedolim al-Ktanim means to warn each and every one of us who are not children, Gedolim, al-Ktanim, not to be small, not to fall into smallness. Lahazir is a lashon of Zoya. Zoya means light. Lahazir gedolim alaktanim. First of all, with the children. To bring greatness into the children, to bring godliness to our children, that our children should grow up hearing about greatness. Greatness of tzaddikim, greatness of Torah. Pnimius, lahazir, the Zoya of Torah. Lahazir gedolim alaktanim. In order to bring out the godless, not just in our children, in ourselves. L'haza g'doylam al k'tanim. That we shouldn't be k'tanim. That we should be g'doylam. And this person feels the anguish of his katness, of his smallness. Ad sheyuchal l'tzayir es meitzvei gehenim, she'eichzim es kol mi sheripa yodav min ha'tayir. To the point that he's able to actually be mitzayir. He's able to envision. To understand, to feel something of the pain of Gehenna that is holding on to all those who are negligent of the study of Torah. He feels this Gehenna, and he could see that in the lives of other people. Even though he hasn't yet overcome it in his life, he understands enough of what it is to see how it's bringing people down. The Mitzari Gehenna. And because of the great fear and trembling that this vision causes him, that he doesn't want to be that way, he doesn't want to be like that, he sees what this does to people, the emptiness of Torah, he looks and he sees where that leads, and it causes him to tremble and to fear, to be afraid, what's going to be with my life? Am I going to be a cotton? Am I going to die a cotton? Tismarek Navsha Misiga. The soul becomes refined, it becomes purified of this pollution, of silliness, of Chesyonis Shav Veso, of Tayu of Narishkai. Hubachilul is Amis Bishkedos of Satara, so he sees this in other people. Where this leads to? Where does this take you to? What happens? And my father always said, I remember hearing from the time that we were little, that old, you know, aged wine is a chashuva thing. It's a chashuva thing. But my father would always say that's only when the wine was good to begin with. But if you take cheap wine and you age it, it just gets worse. So he used to say, make sure that you're good wine now, so when you're older, it'll age properly. So a person sees, what am I going to be? I'm going to be like this. I'm going to leave the world like this. The guy from the shtiebel, his last word is going to be kiddush, and then the chevur kedusha comes. That was his last word, because they said that Moshe Kapaya had a granddaughter. So he said kiddush, and then he passed out, and the chevur kedusha came. Yotzan neshmasa b'kedusha. He left the world with the word kiddush on his lips. Where are you? Yes, is that what? There's nobody here that's planning such an exit or any other form of that. There are different ways it doesn't kiddush. So. iPad, you know, whatever it is, the latest gadget. I just got my. Oy vey, chevur kedusha comes. This is his last word he said was iPad. And he's still mumbling it, as is in the Shamalis, it says pad. And then everybody starts to cry and they raise Kriya, Gevald, Gevald. And then they make a haspin. Uy, 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 uy. Achre Mois Kadoshim Emma. Achre Mois Kadoshim Emma, iPad. Yosin Ishmosavatahara. No one wants to go like that. It's a bush and a cherpa. So the person says, I'm not going to live this way. I can't continue this way. I see the Gehenna of people who are without Torah. I see where this takes you. Without that Teichen that Rav Kook is talking about. So, Becholus Ameitz, he starts to strengthen himself, Bishkedoshi Shatara, throws himself into Hamaisis, Varuchanis, into living mitzvahs more, and the Ruchnias of Torah, to enter deeper and deeper into the Ruchnias. Yargish is Kol HaTorah HaRoyloi, and he'll begin to feel all of the great pureness that is Royloi, that becomes a person like this, in other words, that's been waiting for him. L'kabal min ha'omesh al Torah, that he receives from the beauty and the pleasantness of Torah, that he never looked into until now, never felt until now. V'yoshuv elav or sichloi, and the light of his seichel returns to him. V'yoshuv elav or sichloi, the light of the seichel returns. V'oimek hargashosai, and the depths of emotions. Shalvas nafshai, the tranquility of soul. Ubrak dimyonai, and the lightning, and the clarity, like the flash, the clarity of his imagination. It all returns, not being lost in the Narishkeit. Mitzarafim im kol hamidos achamudos, all together, joined together with hamidos achamudos, with the sweet midas, the proper midas of a Jew. Mitzarafim im kol hamidos achamudos, shehem mechlal birchas Hashem, that are all part of the blessing of Hashem, that come ashirim oira shel Torah, that come with the light of Torah. All of that. Or haseichel, listen, light of intelligence. Oimek hargosha, deep emotions. Shalvas nefesh, a tranquility. Yishev adas, a menuchas nefesh. Brak dimyon, clear imagination, meaning imagination that's used in pureness. All of that together with beautiful, beautiful midas. Midas achamudas. All of this, Rav Kook says, Shemachlal Birchas Hashem, Hashem Oyrish Al Torah. All of this is the Birchas Hashem that comes with the Oyrish Al Torah, not just by studying Torah, with the Oyrish Al Torah, with the light of Torah. So I was talking about Les Shabbos, the Inyan of Moshe Kibbutz Torah Nisinim is thoroughly Yeshua. But he gave Yeshua, what he gave Yeshua wasn't just the information and the curriculum of Torah. He gave Yeshua the light of Torah. Menasata mehoidcha alav. He gave him the light of Torah. When one receives the light of Torah, all of these other things are part of that. If one only receives the curriculum of Torah, just the subject of Torah, without the or of Torah, then it does not necessarily lead to any of this. It could be the same bilbul, the same shallowness, the same emptiness, the same dead meters, even though he knows how to quote that Gemara or that Chazal. It could be the same cotton, the same little person that he was in yeshiva on the day that he leaves the world. Only with the Irish of Torah, with the light of Torah, can all of this come together. Maybe we should be zeichet not just to talk about it, we should be zeichet to live it. Admir v'esrim shalom.